Blog Talk Radio.
On July 1st of this year, the interest rates on Stafford student loans, the same loans that many of you use to help pay for college, are set to double. And that means some hardworking students will be paying about $1,000 extra just to get their education. So I've called on Congress to prevent this from happening. What we've said is simple. Now is not the time to make school more expensive for our young people.
Oh, yeah. You should listen to the president. Or as I like to call him, the Preezy of the United Steezy. Things were heating up inside Congress's chambers behind all those closed doors. So the president made a few discreet calls across the aisle. He said, hey, let's get together on this one. Without an affordable Stafford loan, where can a student turn? The Pell Grant is a beautiful thing, but with college getting more expensive, is it enough by itself to satisfy all your collegiate needs? Oh, hell no.
Oh, hell no. If Congress doesn't act, it's the student to play. The right and left should join on this like Kim and Kanye.
Now, there are some in Congress who disagree. They say keeping the interest rate low isn't the way to help our students. They say we should be doing everything we can to pay down the national debt. Well, so long as it doesn't include taxing billionaires. But their position is that students just have to make this rate increase work. Frankly, I don't buy it.
The Barackness monster ain't buying it. We all know our legislative body is in the House tossing and turning late into the night. But still, Republicans disagree and could even filibuster. But if they do, the president said they're gonna feel it, Buster.
The GOP is steady saying no, no, no. They should find something new to do like Tim Tebow.
The reason it's so important to keep down costs is so we keep college affordable.
And the president knows his stuff, y'all. That's why they call him the POTUS, which means person on top. What is it?
Jimmy, POTUS stands for President of the United States.
He's the POTUS with the most.
Let's keep the rates down on college loans.
Stop the loan you say may be your own.
Yeah. Let's get it together and make our lives better. Cause a college degree is more than a few letters. If college don't rise, we'll have financial blues.
And that is how we slow jam the news.
Oh, yeah.
Give it up for President Barack Obama. Welcome to President, we got back. Come on back.
Yes, it's 3 p.m., June the 22nd. And as I always say, I have a question for you. Do you know where your politicians are? We know where the Republicans are at. They're up there in Utah. But are they going to be discussing the issues that are for you? Are they going to be discussing health care? Or as they say up there in Utah today, Obamacare? Well, we're going to find out what they're going to be discussing, because I think that they're going to be talking about how much money they have and how well they're doing and what are the poor doing now as they sit in the pool with a cigar in their mouth and a martini in their hand and say it don't get any better than this. But that's all right. Hey, if you got it, flaunt it. Just make sure you don't step over any poor people on the way to your limousine. Right now, I want to do some Fairfax.
A Fairfax?
Fairfax. Yes, there are a lot of things that are going on in this world. And, you know, we got a Russian ship that was just turned back to Syria. Seemed like it had some MI-25 helicopters on board. And the United States, I guess the CIA gave a little tip to the Britain, the insurance people over there, Standing Club, and told them that that was against the law, against a breach of EU sanctions. So what did the Standard Club, which is the insurance company, do? They canceled the insurance for the ship. That's right, the Allied. They said they talked to Nordic Shipping, which originally owned the Allied, and said, oh, by the way, we're extremely sorry for this. We're canceling your insurance. And they not only canceled that ship insurance, but they canceled every single insurance that was being carried by this company from Russia. So the only way they're going to get military parts over to Syria is on a military ship. And, you know, it's really a pleasure to introduce our next speaker.
Man, woman, earth, death, infinity.
And as we say, it's Grace's Corner.
But listen, that was Ben Casey. Was that a Ben Casey
yes.
music? Not Till Death.
That's
right. That was Ben Casey.
Ben Casey.
Hey,
absolutely.
You know what? You have just, I have just aged myself. Michael Lawson, that was so uncool. I dated myself.
Well, we thought we'd have something for you there, but I thought I always like Ben Casey more than I like
Kildare.
I like Ben Casey.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I like Ben Casey better than I like Kildare. You know, Ben Casey was strictly business. Kildare was looking to get a date.
Well, here's the thing, too. It was the funniest thing. Both doctors could do anything and everything. I mean, they were brain surgeons, they were cardiac surgeons. I mean, they did everything.
Yeah. Don't we have one of them in every hospital?
I thought so, but, you know, every time they do paging Dr. Kildare, no one shows up.
You mean you can't do that?
You know, I try. I really do try. I try.
So what is going on? If I didn't know.
Oh, my gosh. So, you want to talk about Florida first?
Oh, no. I want to talk about that. We'll lead into Florida. But I want to talk about what's going on in the state of North Kakalaki.
In the state. Well, the good news, there is some good news. The good news is the medical assistance funding was approved by both the House and the Senate. Now, that was kind of scary.
How did that happen?
It happened because a lot of people lobbied. I mean, I personally lobbied many of the House, members of the House, and many of the members of the Senate. What was going to happen is that, amazingly, now, you know, I talk about the bad things, but I talk about the good things, too. Amazingly, what had happened is that in the budget, there was a line item for medication assistance funding, which would have impacted the free clinics. And the House passed it. You know, it's like $1.7 million, and they passed it. Mm-hmm. This line item would have ensured that people who are uninsured would continue to get their medications for free. And we're talking about the generic medicines, of course. We purchase at the free mm-hmm. clinics. We purchase generic medications so that we can, and we purchase them for literally, I mean, less than pennies on the dollar. If you think about, for example, a lisinopril pill costs about 3 cents to make, and it is sold for 63 cents each. We buy them for close to 10 cents a piece. So, you know, we buy them for very, very, really close to cost.
Right.
Or not cost itself. So the medication assistance funding line item would have continued to ensure that people who are uninsured would get their generic medications. The House passed it, and then the Senate decided in their infinite wisdom that they were not going to pass it. They rejected so much of the budget. They eliminated the medication assistance funding part, and they eliminated a lot of the other line items that would have continued to help the poor people, you know, at the expense of maybe let's build a road someplace. Well, it doesn't have to be an either or. See, this is what we said it doesn't have to be an either or. We don't know why you're saying it has to be this or that. If you look at the budget carefully and you look at all the different line items, it really still comes up to within a manageable budget for North Carolina. So fortunately, the House prevailed. The House budget prevailed, and the Senate said, okay, fine, because they went to conference. That was on Tuesday.
Right.
They went to conference, and on Tuesday and then Wednesday, they conferred, they negotiated, they went back and forth and back and forth. And essentially, the budget was adjusted some, not dramatically. It was adjusted some, and the bottom line is that the medication assistance funding program stayed intact, and so we will continue, the free clinics will continue to be able to provide medicine and help for the uninsured in North Carolina.
What happens if in all the wisdom of our Supreme Court, they kill the health program.
Affordable Care Act? Kill the Affordable Care Act, which is a definite possibility considering the makeup of our Supreme Court, then that $1.7 million would probably need to be multiplied by 10, would have to be increased exponentially, because the number of uninsured right now with the Affordable Care Act, we have people, for example, the children are receiving, you know, are covered. Kids up until the age of 26 are covered. You talk about the pre-existing condition, they're covered. Well, if the Affordable Care Act gets turned on its head by the Supreme Court, by these thugs, the Supremes, and I don't mean Diana Ross, okay, if it gets turned on its head, we are going to need exponential amounts of money to help with our uninsured.
What happens to the money that we are now supposed to be getting back because of, I believe it's an average of $151 because of the Health Care Act that is the difference between the money, I think the 80%?
Mm-hmm.
What happens to that money?
It goes bye-bye. It just goes bye-bye. That's it. It just goes bye-bye. It stays in the federal, you know, budget. So it goes bye-bye.
So now that money that because I believe that money we were supposed to start getting back that money July 1st?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So that means checks are in the hopper right now, getting ready to be printed up.
Correct.
And so does it go back on the plus side of the budget?
Well, theoretically. But if you look at what the Republicans are doing, they're defunding at every chance that they get. They're defunding the Affordable Care Act. So, yes, theoretically, it goes back on the plus side, but it actually doesn't. I mean, it just disappears.
Right, just disappears. So, so realistically, now, this is my opinion. My opinion is that I believe if the Supremes kill the Affordable Care Act, that will be the best thing that could happen with Barack Obama.
Oh yeah,
because
that will
force well, that's one thing, but it will force a single payer program.
Well, we hope, but remember, we hope, you know, and we and I would like to think so. But if the Supreme Court does turn the Affordable Care Act on its head, then I hope and pray that everyone who didn't vote or was not registered to vote and who has will now understand that they've all got a dog in the game, okay? They all will, and they will all get out there and vote. They will, I'm hoping, because that is the only way. We have to not only take the White House, we've got to have a strong veto-proof majority in the House and in the Senate. If we don't have that, then there ain't a damn thing Obama can do. Okay, if we just re-elect President Obama without giving him a strong, I'm talking a strong veto-proof majority in the House and the Senate, and I'm talking about these blue dogs need to go take a long walk off a short pier. Okay, I'm talking about putting in some progressive members of the House and of the Senate. We have got to have that, some strong, strong progressive Democrats. If we don't do that, then Obama can't do a damn thing.
Well,
the message that we have to send Obama also, the message we have to send the president also is, look, we love you, but you have been too moderate yourself. You know, look, we love you, Mr. President, but you pissed me off when you decided you weren't going to pursue George W. Bush and his administration for all the lies that they told him for leading us into this war. Yeah, we love you, Mr. President, but we're pissed off, you know, X, Y, Z, right? And we're giving you now this veto-proof majority and this veto-proof in the House and in the Senate because we want you to do the right thing.
Well, but you know the old thing. They told the same thing to Roosevelt. And what did Roosevelt tell the people?
Make me
do it.
Right.
That's right.
Exactly.
If the people don't get out and vote, we need, 25 people in the House to take back the House?
Mm-hmm.
And we need, 7 more people in the Senate to have 60?
That would be our veto-proof. That would be veto-proof because, remember, I'm saying 7 more. We have 54 members. We need 7 more because you always have the odd Ben Nelson.
Right, thank God, is not running again.
Thank God.
Yeah, thank you. He ain't running again.
And although we say 25 in the House, I always look to cushion because you always got these, you know, those blue dogs like Heath Shuler who run around, right?
Yes, you always have
the blue dogs that run around and go, no, I think I'll vote for the Republicans, even though I'm a Democrat.
So we have to have more.
Mm-hmm.
Is it possible to get 25 in the House?
Well, yes, absolutely. Of course it's possible. Yeah. Yes. But we've got to get the electorate. We have to wake them up. And, you know, go ahead.
What? No, you know, if people aren't awakened now, what is going to get them awakened? An asteroid sitting on their front door?
Well, yeah, that could happen. But what's going to wake them up? And my dad used to say there are two things that you don't mess with, okay? One is somebody's pocketbook and the other is somebody's family. You start messing with somebody's pocketbook big time, that wakes them up. It really wakes them up. And you mess with somebody's mama or daddy, that wakes them up too. The family, that wakes them up. But the one that really, really wakes them up is the money, the pocketbook. So, you know, our job is to show people, and people go, wow, you know, we don't have jobs and the economy isn't where we want it to be. Well, of course it's not where you want it to be. Because remember how long it took for us to get to this point?
Yeah.
Well, it's like gaining weight and losing weight. You didn't become 300 pounds overnight. You ain't going to lose it overnight, you know? It's the same thing.
Hey, I know some people that gain 300 pounds overnight. It seemed like it anyway. moving on now, I want to talk about, you know, we got this fool, Senator Cornyn from Texas.
Oh, gosh.
Is everybody out in Texas crazy?
There are a few that are not crazy. One is my husband, Joe. He's not crazy, and he is from Texas.
Yeah, but is he out there now? I thought he was back here. Where's Joe at?
He is here. He is here. He's an honorary North Carolinian. But he was, born and bred South Texas. Texas used to be a strong Democratic state.
Well, did he have to fight? Did go put the garbage out to the curb, too? And fight, come back, and get back in the
truck? Yeah.
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, absolutely. But John Cornyn is an idiot. He is an idiot.
I mean, this guy says he's telling no other attorney general has ever been in held in contempt of court. Even Janet Reno, Waco, and we had that the Pillsbury Doughboy, that's right.
Yeah.
And Ilion, he never went that far. And he says, you violated the public trust in my view and failing and refusing to perform the duties of your office.
Oh, crap. He violated public trust? What the hell? What about what's-his-name Mitchell, who violated the public trust when it came to the whole Bush administration thing?
You mean the money bag?
What the hell happened with the attorneys general there? Please, they violated the public trust. What the hell is he talking about?
The guy who used to carry the millions of dollars in a paper bag?
Yeah, exactly. My theory is that Cornyn actually, you know how I say Virginia Fox either has tick fever or got dropped on her head?
Oh, God.
Yeah, I say that about Virginia Fox. Well, I think John Cornyn has just been subjected to all the pollution in Texas from all the oil industry and everything else that gets dumped into the soil, and that's the reason why he's so foolish.
Absolutely. I think, here's the thing that gets me, though. He's saying all this, you've violated, you've done this, you've done that, you've done that. He says you won't cooperate with the legitimate congressional investigation, and you don't want to hold anyone responsible, even yourself. He says your department blocks states that from implementing an attempt to combat voter fraud. Wait a minute. How did voter fraud get thrown in with the guns?
Fast and furious. I don't know. It's a leap. He doesn't know how to connect point A with point B.
This whole thing, that was sort of like a lifeline out to those right-wing nut jobs that we're going to get them for this voter fraud thing. Because they've been trying, these 36 Republican governors that have taken over, have every single one of them operating out of the same game plan, and the whole game plan is to voter suppress any which way they can.
Absolutely.
Now, the Department of Justice said that Florida's voter roll purge violates the National Voter Registration Act, which stipulates that the voter roll maintenance should have ceased 90 days before an election.
So, realistically,
how can they still purge when they know what the Voting Rights Act states out in black and white? They don't care about the Voting Rights.
Well, that's because they are better than, they're exempt. I don't know.
Oh, they're exempt.
they got special exemption from the Pope.
special exemption for the Pope. Well, they did. Yeah. I mean, because how do you outright say that when there was 178 supposedly alleged voter fraud positions out of 37 million votes cast since 2000. 100, that's 0.00005. Now, how do you address and say that has obstructed someone else's vote? How is that even, registering is not voting.
That's correct. That is correct. And we certainly can attest to that, because we registered as so many people to vote. And if every last one of them had come out to vote, then Obama would have won North Carolina by, I don't know, 50, 60,000 instead of the 14,000. So that's absolutely correct. Yeah. So.
Well, if they would have won, if every one of them would have came out in Florida in 2000, the Democrats would have won by 182,000.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's outrageous.
Mm-hmm.
There is the Secretary of State, the Wicked Witch of the West, Harris, was up to her eyeballs in purging voters off the. Now, I don't know. We're going to have on the show this afternoon the general counsel for the Advancement Project, which has just filed suit and has joined the suit with the federal government in filing charges against the Florida. They've joined with the Fair Elections Legal Network and Latino Justice and the Project Vote. They have an expansive suit. So there is no way that this is going to go through. And how he looks like the something from The Walking Dead, this Rick Scott. How he can put his face on the screen.
He does, doesn't he? Holy cow, he really does.
He put his face on the screen and said, oh, well, we're just trying to prevent people who want to cheat. But listen, if I'm an illegal alien, what the heck do I want to put myself on the radar and vote for somebody and take somebody's name and vote? Why do you want to go down with anything federal anywhere?
I know, you'd be hiding, wouldn't you?
It doesn't make any sense. But yet, we have these people. So what are we doing here in North Carolina? There's no chance for this voter ID bill that they have proposed to get through, right?
Well, there is no chance as long as our Democrats show up. One of the bills that got snuck through because we had three Democrats who were asleep at the wheel. They did not show up. They literally didn't. Now, I don't know if this is because the Republicans decided to hold another midnight vote or not. But one, I forgot. They're going to start again with trying to pass the voter ID law. All right. What we've got to do is make sure that our Democrats in the House in Raleigh and the Senate in Raleigh know, are well informed of when these votes are supposedly coming out. Now, the good news is that the session is going to be ending pretty soon, so there's nothing that can happen unless, of course, again, that's the big unless Tom Tillis decides that he's going to hold a midnight vote, you know, and he can call him back. You can call him back anytime in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
And if he does that and holds a midnight vote and the Democrats are not there, they can override the governor's veto. They can.
Okay,
so,
but is it North Carolina under the Voting Rights Act?
Absolutely. Of course we are.
So no matter what they say, no matter what they vote on, they would still be prevented in the end from putting it through, because how many days is it before our next election?
It's less than 100 now, I think it is, isn't it?
Okay, well, are we talking about July, August, September?
No, November.
August. So it's not.
No, it's not. It has to be 90 days.
It has to be 90 days.
So we're still, we're still. Mm-hmm.
So we're still in that window.
Yeah.
All right, but the voter ID law that they want to put through, does it have anything in it where it says that they would pay for the ID?
No. No, hell no. Hell no. Because it amounts to a poll tax. Absolutely. Hell no.
So it would be still in clear violation of the Voting Rights Act.
Yes, absolutely. In absolute clear violation. But, again, you have to remember that the Republicans have a very good way of giving names to things that are completely contrary to what they actually will do. Like the Clean Air Act, you know, the Clean Air Act actually gave more pollution. You know, they're very smart. They're really smart at that. So, you can't go by what the name is. It doesn't mean doo-doo squat.
Now, what is the story with how our chairman of North Carolina? I was in New York about 2 weeks ago, and I went to see some people at OFA and some other Democratic leaders around the Queens and Brooklyn area, because I know quite a few of them, grew up with them. The first question out of their mouth is, what the hell is going on in North Carolina? I said, hey.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
exactly.
They know about it.
Yeah.
They know about it.
And they do. And here's the thing. The thing is that, you know, when we have some active dialogue on Facebook, I actually have people that tell me the rest of the world, the rest of America doesn't care about what happens with David Parker, with the David Parker issue, and that people like myself who are keeping this in the forefront are being selfish, and we're not doing the right thing. We should just forget about it, ignore it, and it will go away. And my comment to them is, you know what, ignoring something will not, a problem never has made it go away. And now you've just vindicated me by telling me that everybody in New York knows about what's happening with David Parker, and they're questioning why the hell aren't we doing something.
That's right. They didn't even say hello to me. Haven't seen you in a year. No. What the hell are you people doing? That's what they said.
Yeah, exactly.
Well,
exactly. And it's a kabuki theater that Parker is running. And I know he still hasn't responded to you to come onto your show, but it is a kabuki theater that he's running. And then, again, you know, you've got the 12 out of the 13 district chairs are in his pocket. And the 12 I call them his minions. All right, 12 out of 13 district chairs are his minions. They're running around doing his bidding because, you know, Parker even gave the interview right after the state convention. He gave an interview, and it was all over the paper and all over the TV, and he essentially said that the Democratic ticket has nothing to do with getting the vote out. Nothing.
Yeah, well,
nothing at all.
People,
nothing to do with it.
The
people on the ticket, including Obama, all right, and because he called them the Chicago gang.
Yeah, well,
he called them the Chicago gang. If anybody is a Republican plant, it's David Parker, who's a daggum Republican plant. You know what I mean? I mean, he calls Obama's people the Chicago gang, and then he calls the people in Raleigh the Gang of Six. I mean, what the heck is going on? These people are out there trying very, very hard to destroy, and saying that, you know, the people that are on the ticket have nothing to do and nothing to say with how North Carolina functions. Okay, which is so stupid because they're saying that we are not listening. He's saying his comment and these 12 district chairs are saying the same thing. We are not listening. We're not allowing the elected officials to tell us what to do, to dictate the agenda. You know, this is very stupid because really, essentially, President Obama and all of North Carolina, all of our democratically elected officials are the agenda, idiots.
That's right.
They
Absolutely.
Are the agenda.
Well, I want to say that everything you have said is absolutely correct, and I have another call, but I want to thank have Grace's Corner on for today. And
you're welcome.
Grace, I want you to give us a call back as next Friday.
I will do that. That's not a problem. We will do that. Okay.
All righty.
Goodbye, Michael. Take care.
This was Grace's Corner.
Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. And right now, we have another guest. And our next guest is from the Advancement Project. And the Advancement Project is a a policy and communication and legal action group, which is one of the foremost in the country. And on the phone right now, we have Reverend Edward Hales, who is the General Counsel and Managing Director. Hello, Reverend Hales.
Well, good afternoon. How are you today?
I am doing quite well. How are you?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
I am really, really thankful to have you on the show tell our audience what is actually going on in the lower half of this country, in that little place down there called Florida. We've had a little going. We had a little running with Florida in 2000. Matter of fact, I think twice already in about 15 years. So, what is going on in Florida? And I understand that that you have just joined the Fair Elections Legal Network and Latina Justice in a lawsuit against the state of Florida.
That's absolutely correct. We're taking action to prevent eligible citizens from being removed from the voter registration rolls before the next federal election, which will be in August the 14th of this year.
And why did you feel, and if you could just fill our audience in on a little bit of what's going on, why did you feel that this action? And I know you guys at the Advancement Project have been in a lot of other legal actions over the course of the years. It was Abdul Molina in New York and a few others. But what made you, why were you focused on Florida right now?
We have kept our eyes on Florida since 2000. Our lawyers were in Florida the week of that election. When we found that many African-American voters and other voters were unable to participate in our democracy, and we've had people on the ground since then working with voters and reform groups and with unions and the faith-based communities just to make sure that more people can participate in our democracy. We've met with election officials. We've constantly pointed out that there are elected officials who are trying to narrow the number of people who have opportunities to cast ballots that count, as opposed to trying to expand the electorate. And so we've had to file, unfortunately, a number of lawsuits there. When we see violations, when we see this attempt to just keep people of color in particular with limited opportunities to express their voice through the vote. So most recently, we found out that the state, pushed by the governor of the state, was attempting to purge their rolls far past the time which is allowed by federal law. The National Voter Registration Act makes it very clear that these systematic purges cannot take place within 90 days of a federal election. And yet the governor was pushing his elections department and the election supervisors to go forward with this major systematic purge action past that NVRA deadline. So we said this is a clear violation of federal law. We have to file a lawsuit, and so we did.
And now, I understand that a majority of the election officials are refusing to carry it out.
Yes, they are constitutional officers in their state, so they have to answer to their own constituencies. And when they see a clear violation of federal law, they don't want to make themselves subject to any violation of law. So they said, no, we are not going to take this action. We know the governor is pushing us to do something that is wrong. He's using flawed data. He's He's gone past the deadline. There's some problem with preventing people who are eligible to vote, who are citizens of the United States, who went through a process to gain citizenship, and now just want to express their voice in the polling place, and they're being unfairly, unjustly removed from the voter registration roll. So those supervisors stood up and said, no, we're not going to do it.
And I said that a lot of these, as a matter of fact, I guess most of them, are Republican officials.
Well, yeah, they said, look, this is wrong. We're not going to do it. When we in the former Secretary of State,
right,
who had been a long time election official,
right,
said he had this feeling that this was wrong for the governor to take this action. So he's no longer there. He resigned. He just had a bad, eerie sense of being asked to be put in this position.
Right, and now I understand, what it states is that Florida is subject to the pre-clearance procedures under Section 5 of the Voting Rights Act. So therefore,
right.
I mean, DOJ, that's why DOJ, Department of Justice, is now involved in this lawsuit also then.
That's right. This is a new action the state has taken, and every new action that has a voting consequence has to be pre-cleared by the Department of Justice. Well, the governor and his folks forgot to go through that procedure, and DOJ said, well, no, you're violating the law. And so they've taken action against the governor and the state elections department as well.
Is this somewhat similar to the governor of Alabama when he stood in the high school doorway and wouldn't admit the black students into the school? I mean, is this sort
there
of
are
the
some
same
comparisons?
Thing?
There are some comparisons when you have a governor attempting to point to sort of the power of the state. To stand up to the power of the federal government and saying, even though this federal law exists, we are not going to follow it. And so there definitely is that similarity. And the problem is that, of course, it affects voters most directly. And the voters who are most vulnerable, we have Latino voters who are advanced in age, that are getting these very threatening, intimidating letters telling them they have to respond within a very limited window of time, and if they don't, they will be taken off the voter registration rolls. Many of these advanced-aged Latino voters don't have opportunities to get to travel to the supervisor's office to prove that they're citizens. They're being asked to prove that they are citizens. They are citizens. They should not get these letters. They should not be removed from the rolls. And the governor has just taken this drastic action that violates federal law.
Well, because what I understand that he's looking to purge at least 182,000 Floridians off the rolls. And matter of fact, and in 2000, I believe they had, I don't know, it was 7,000 they purged off the rolls, and the George W. Bush won by only 543 votes in Florida. So,
yeah, that's absolutely right.
So,
and the problem is that
– go ahead.
Sorry, go right ahead.
Well, no, the problem that I have here is that do people as a whole, your feeling, because you have people on the ground there, do they actually know how from past problems and past history that this is going down the same road as the Chads?
Well, they certainly see similarities in the instruments of the government being used to make it far more difficult for eligible citizens to participate in our democracy. They feel this sense of, why are they making it harder for me to vote? Why do they want to strip me off the voter registration rolls? I'm a citizen. I am registered to vote. I want to select the candidate of my choice. Why are they denying me this opportunity? And yet, and this is why we file lawsuits, because we want people to feel empowered. We want to know that there are groups that are willing to fight back on their behalf to make sure that the blood secured, the right secured by the blood of too many Americans, including the very precious right to vote, is actually in force, and that there's no governor, there's no state election official that can take that precious right away, that we're going to fight. They need to know that. They need to feel the confidence that they will, in the end, win and vote the candidate of their choice.
Well, you know, and I had other people on this very same network say that, and I'm talking about African-American young man, told me, we don't have the right to vote. It's a privilege to vote.
Yeah.
I mean, so how do we get the school system to make this a major? When I went to school, you had to take civics. And you
didn't
right. know, well, I don't have to take that again, take something else. You had to take civics. You
That's
had
right.
to know. People need to know what their rights are.
You're right.
And how do we get this back on track where people know what their rights are?
That you are so right. I think it's meeting with, working with school boards, getting parents to push school boards to ensure that the school curriculum includes civics. The operations of government are supposed to be of the people, for the people, and by the people. And if we have people going through 12 years of education without knowing that and understanding it, and knowing that politics is so important, it's the study of who gets what, where, when, and how. There's a connection between voting and who gets their potholes fixed and routine garbage pickup and street lights. It's all connected, and so I think the more we have civic education in our public schools, the more likelihood you will see a significant increase in the number of people who actually vote and who are willing to stand up for their right to vote and not allow people to take it away from them.
Well, you know, as I use part of my, when I do my introduction, I say that everything is political in your life from the moment you're born to the moment you die. And when a politician tells you that's not true, look in your pocket because their hand is in it.
Oh, my. I hear
so,
you.
The thing is that what and what is your next steps going to be in the advancement project in Florida?
Yeah. Well, we filed the lawsuit. We don't have a schedule yet for when the evidence will be presented. We have people on the ground that are working with election officials to make sure they exercise their discretionary authority in the right way to protect voters. We're doing voter education materials and workshops and trainings and finding the people who have received these letters to let them know their rights. So it's a fight both in the courts but also in the streets, where using strategic communications to let the media and social networking. We need messages on Facebook and Twitter accounts and Tumblr accounts. We just need to get the word out, and that's what we're doing as we analyze the evidence, as we begin to fight back against this effort to narrow the electorate, especially making it more difficult for Haitian Americans in Florida, for Latino voters, for people at advanced ages, people with without transportation, people who whose English is not their first language. These letters have gone out in English only, and there are some people who need assistance in being able to know their rights and what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that the people listening, if they're listening in Florida, can do to assist you? Because you need assistance from them. What can they do in Florida to help the Advancement Project?
Well, we certainly are looking for people to let us know if they have received letters from supervisors telling them that they must respond within 30 days or their name will be taken off the rolls, and that they've received these letters recently. That'll be part of the evidence that we present. We also encourage people to ask family members and church members and members of their groups and their clubs and everybody if they've received these letters. And then we just need people to begin to stand up and talk about how important it is for people to vote. We really are looking for people to say that we're not going to allow folks to keep us from voting our choices. We're going to stand up. We're going to fight back. We are going to protect voters all the way through November.
Now, is there does this mean now with your input to the this whole suppression effort and DOJ's input to the suppression effort, does this mean that it all stops now, or is it still going on?
Yeah, well, that's what we're looking at. Not just Florida, but there are other states that we hope to stop illegal purges in Florida, but and also in other states. We're looking at Colorado, Tennessee, even North Carolina and New Mexico, where purging is taking place.
Well, are they supposed to stop it because a suit is in, or do they have to wait for a judge to come back and say, okay, yes, stop it while I work this over?
Yeah, the judge can order a stop right away, and that's what we're seeking, a preliminary injunction. We filed the most expansive lawsuit in the state. It covers the whole state. It's permanent. We want to make sure that the National Voter Registration Act is complied with fully and permanently, and voters are protected not just in this election year, but going past 2012 and into the future.
Well, but does that mean, though, that these whoever is doing these jurisdictions will now are going to wait to hear the judge's comments, or since it was filed, it's automatic they have to cease?
Yeah, it's not automatic, especially in the other states. Our hope is that it would cause election officials to pause and to take some time to consult with their attorneys to see if they are in violation of the law, and we suggest that if they are purging voters systematically and it's within 90 days of the next federal election, then they are in violation of the law and they should cease immediately.
Yeah, well, I was just talking about it with Grace Lean, Dr. Grace Lean, who's the chair of the Cabarrus County Democratic Party here in North Carolina. And, of course, North Carolina, as you said, is under this Voting Rights Act also. But they haven't been able to override the governor's veto yet.
Right.
But, you know, if somebody gets sick and they call a midnight call, I mean, they might be able to override it. And then I guess that's when the action would take place here in North Carolina, to have these voter ID laws held up.
Yeah, here's one thing. We are winning in courts across the country where these lawsuits have been filed. We can't, however, count on lawsuits alone. It's going to take a lot of voter education. We need the communities to see that what is happening is the most aggressive turning back of voting rights in over a century, and that there's a reason why this is happening. And now's the time for voters to stand up and say, we're not going to be discouraged. We're going to fight back against these challenges, and we're going to exercise our right to vote. There's something very special about the right to vote that is making these officials try to have a chilling effect on it.
Well, they know that if they do not stop, especially the Latin community, from voting this time, 4 years from now, it's going to be three times worse.
Yeah.
Because they will have people coming of age who will be voting.
Yeah.
So that's their main problem. How can people get in touch with the Advancement Project that want to help you in some manner or form?
Yeah. Well, the easiest thing, if you have access to the Internet, is to go to our website, which is www.advancementproject.org. And Advancement Project is one word, and that provides you with all the information that you need to contact us by email and by telephone, so that we could get the information that you have on the ground. That's the information that's most important to us, what folks on the ground are experiencing, what they know, and their willingness to share it helps us to do our job as well.
And people that are – do you have any locations in Florida that people can go to, or is everything in Washington?
Well, we have people on the ground, but they work through our national office in Washington, D.C.
And what's the number there in Washington that they can call?
We're at area code 202-728-9557.
9557. And, ladies and gentlemen, that's where you need to call. Everybody, get off their butts. Get off your butts, whether you're in Florida, North Carolina. I don't care where you are. Call the Advancement Project. This organization has been a major, major. Matter of fact, tell us some of the things that you have done, the Advancement Project. I know, I guess it was Amado Delio.
That's right. I mean, we have been working in the area of voting rights for some time. And let me just give a shout out to the voting rights advocates in the state of North Carolina. There are some wonderful experts in your state that protect the voting rights of people every day. And I don't want to go any further without giving them their due, because they do outstanding work and they work in collaboration with each other. And whenever there's some problem, they're on the spot. We've been fortunate to work in a number of areas, including in education, stopping the school to prison pipeline. We've worked in a number of states in that regard. We've done some immigrant justice work. We've worked on the ground in New Orleans to help residents temporarily displaced by Hurricanes Katrina and Rita to get the housing that they needed to go back to the homes where they wanted to remain. And so our organization works on the ground in support of local advocacy efforts. We support groups by providing careful legal analysis, policy analysis, strategic communications, and the resources necessary to challenge inequities across the country.
Well, I just want to give a shout out and thanks to your organization. You're doing a superhero's job in bringing to everybody to the table, understanding what is actually going on around them and how they can help themselves by helping you guys get your message out. And people need to understand that, you know, I used to tell my daughters, they were, when they were younger, they were looking for a job, they would sit around and say, well, what do you expect? Knock, knock, knock. Who is it? Job? Job is not coming to look for you. You got to go look for a job.
I hear you.
And the thing is that if we don't go out and defend our right to vote,
that's right,
it ain't coming.
That's exactly
it's
right.
It's as simple as that. It's not coming.
That's right.
And well, I want to thank you, Reverend Hales. And
all right.
I hope to speak to you again a little bit down the road when Rick Scott starts fight. You know, I don't know if he's going to fight back, because I believe this is all a ploy to distract and to see if people to just to get people downhearted about.
You're right.
Voting.
You're right. You're right. That's what we think. All these voter suppression actions.
That's
what it's about. They violate the law. You
right.
challenge them, you win,
right.
and then they do something else to just discourage and disempower people.
It's the same thing that they're trying to do with our Attorney General Eric Holder right now.
Exactly.
Same thing. They know they're not that this has never been done before. It's not going to have any action. You know,
right.
But they don't care. It's just to give people, to make people downhearted. Well,
you're
I
right.
want to thank you once again for your time. I know you're very busy. And we will be talking to you.
Thank you so much, and you have a great day.
You too. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye now.
Bye-bye. I want to thank Reverend Edward Hales from the Advancement Project. And it has been a great opportunity to speak to him. And let's see who we got on the phone here. Hello there.
Hello.
Hello? Can
Hello?
Hear you? Yes,
can you hear
I hear
me
you
now?
I hear you now.
Oh,
go ahead.
I'm sure you know who this is. It's Reese on the radio.
Reese on the radio. Reese on the radio. Well, Reese, I am still waiting for your email with all the information that you said you had to prove that I was wrong. And that has been a month ago.
Well, I'll admit it's been a couple of weeks.
From you.
It's been a couple of weeks. I have I do have more pressing issues that I have to deal with, but I apologize nonetheless, because you are right. I did say I would send you that information. I have to ask you a question though about
yes,
two
sir.
Separate things. I know you and Reverend Edward Hales were just having a conversation about voter rolls and about this voter restriction and the purging happening in Florida. But you ended it with something that's very near and dear to me as of late.
Okay.
You started talking about the Attorney General Eric Holder.
Mm-hmm.
And I would caution African Americans, I would caution them to stop making Eric Holder a product of racism in this proceeding about Fast and Furious. And I'm telling you why you should do that, why you shouldn't do that, and I'm warning African Americans as to why they shouldn't do it. You're about to open a powder keg against Latinos in this country if you keep defending Eric Holder and making this something racial. And let me explain to you why. Because what people are forgetting about Fast and Furious, it's not about Republicans. It's not about the contempt order. It's not about any of that. It's about the fact that this administration, this attorney general, has lied openly, was caught three times lying, caught in his own documents. He even openly admitted that he lied about sending over 2,000 guns to Mexico, where some 200 Mexicans were shot and killed, only to push an effort to change the opinion of the American people about the Second Amendment and about assault weapons. They tried to invoke George W. Bush's administration's wide receiver program, where 300 guns were tracked with RFID tracking devices and were all recovered. 1,600 people were arrested, and the program was ended because they did not capture any major cartels. And this Eric Holder, this attorney general, let guns walk, did not track them, had no intention of tracking them, and wanted to push a narrative that gun owners and gun shops in America were selling guns to cartels. They were trying to change the minds and the hearts and minds of American people by creating crimes, causing Mexicans to lose their lives. Innocent Mexicans. Even people who were trying to cross the border illegally were innocently murdered by cartels that this administration, this attorney general, allowed guns to walk. He was warned about it, and the only reason why this was exposed is because a U.S. federal border agent, Brian Turry, was shot and killed. And when he was asked about whether or not he knew it, he lied and said no, he didn't, waited 8 months later and said yes, he did. And now he is invoked, now the President of the United States has invoked executive privilege to keep certain documents from being released. And they are in, right now, a quagmire that they'll never be able to get out of.
Are you finished?
I didn't interrupt you.
I heard everything. Did I interrupt you? No.
No,
okay.
Go for it. I apologize. Go ahead.
Okay. You must be one of the group, along with Sean Hannity and O'Reilly, that gets the full-page report from Rush Limbaugh every day, because that's the exact same words that Rush Limbaugh said today, because I listened to his show. The exact same words. Wait a minute. I just let you
talk for seven minutes.
Mr. Lawson, you never listened to my show.
I just want to answer that question.
Yes, have you ever listened to my show? Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
So if you listened to my show, you would have known 3 days ago I predicted about Barack Obama the day before he did.
I predicted
Barack Obama was going to sign an executive.
Can I talk? I gave you seven straight.
Go for it.
Thank you. As I was saying, that it's word for word, ditto head from Rush Limbaugh. Exactly.
So
you must, wait a minute, let me talk. You keep interrupting me. Now, wait a minute.
I'm just trying to figure out what, so what, it's a fact.
Wait a minute.
The fact cannot be distorted.
You know, if I could get to the point.
Thank you.
You said go for it. This is the third time you said that. And every time I try to go for it, you interrupt me.
Okay.
The exact same words. Now, first of all, it wasn't 8 months when he came back with that letter. It wasn't. It was 3 months. It wasn't even 3 months. 2.5 months. The third thing was that W's own ATF agent that resigned said that nobody knew about this program. Nobody of the heads. It was only an ATF. Fourth, when the Attorney General McCasey, that never ended. That program never ended. They changed the name. That's all they did. And the thing is, when you said that they found that they marked all the guns again. I need you to show me that. Show me that in an email. You keep saying you're going to send me emails with all this proof. Show me that in the email. That wasn't even said. Now, the third thing is that Wide Receiver was the original program, and it failed. It failed. Don't say it passed. It failed. That was a fail.
I never said it passed, Mr. Lawson. See, now you're misquoting me. So, again, this is why I'm cutting you off, because you're misquoting me. I said the reason why it was ended was because it never led to the indictment of any cartel figure, which was perfect.
But you also said You also said before that it was a success, but it didn't catch the big leagues.
Well, no,
that's what you
said.
It was
a success. So, hold on. It was a success because they got all the guns back. Did they or did they not?
No.
Did they get all the guns back?
Pardon? I have no idea.
Oh, well,
I have no idea if they got all the guns
ignorance.
Back.
Ignorance is no defense of the law.
You asked me a question. What do you want me to lie to you? Say no, they didn't get them back?
I'm glad you're not going to lie to me, Mr. Lawson, but let me finish.
I'm going to lie to you. What am I going to lie to you for? I don't know if they got all the guns back. But that's not the point. The point is that it doesn't matter because this is all bogus. This ain't going nowhere. This is nothing but a distraction. They have never, ever, ever. Do you know how this thing works here? If they find him in contempt, they have to now call the U.S. attorney who is in Washington, who works for Holder, to charge the attorney general. But if the president calls this, which is what he did, a private privilege, no longer can that U.S. attorney invoke any action against the attorney general. So it don't matter.
Hold on. Are you telling me that executive privilege has never been overturned, Mr. Lawson?
No. When was it overturned?
Oh, my goodness. Hello? The most famous executive privilege case in history. Richard Nixon.
No.
The
Watergate scandal. How about this one?
I didn't say the Supreme Court. Wait. I said the Supreme Court can, but what I said was...
The Supreme Court can? Why even bring the Supreme Court? It ain't coming into this. It's not going to interfere into another branch of government. So forget it. That ain't going to happen. This is all bull that they're throwing up against the wall to see what could stick. Now, the thing is that what we have here is it don't matter. When Cornyn, that moron, stated his statement, the thing that came out of his mouth was, "And you tried to block voter suppression." Well, what the hell has that got to do with guns? Nothing. So this is all bogus. This is all bogus. It has nothing to do with what is actually going on. And what they want to do is stir up enough angst in the public that the public will not come out and vote. That's all it is. And don't try to make it anything else. Yeah, I mean, you know, first of all, do you vote? Hello, you still there? I must have lost it. Nope, I guess he ain't there. I guess Reese couldn't stand the heat, so he got out of the kitchen. Because he's gone. I don't know what happened to him. But anyway, let's see if I I'm sorry, Reese. I don't see you on here. I don't know what happened. What happened, Reese? Let's see if I can resend this here. Yeah? Hello? No, he's gone. Reese is gone. I don't know what happened. Anyway. If I can try to, let's see if I can get him back up here. I can't get him. I don't know what happened to Reese. Okay, let's see who's on the line here. Hello?
Hello, Michael.
Oh, it's our grassroots activist from Union County, Samantha Towns.
Yes, it is. How are you this afternoon?
I'm sorry. I couldn't get through you. Mr. Reese got, as soon as I asked him if he votes, he hung up. He's one of those guys from New York. I like to ask him because, you see, since I am the chair and I have the power to get on a vote builder, I can look him up to see if he's voted. So if he just gives me, calls me offline, he can give me the information so I can look up and see if he voted. Because I have voted every single year. And I'd be willing to bet you he hasn't voted. Well, I don't know when. Maybe
I think Reese had to go and get more sugar.
Yeah, right. Okay. Well, I bet you he hasn't voted. And if he has, I will stand corrected. So yes. You can call me back. Anyway, so what is happening? What is happening in Union County? Redneck of North Carolina County. What's happening down there?
Michael, last night, Union County had an executive committee meeting.
Yeah, well, you know, I was waiting for you guys to call me back up till 1:30 in the morning. I said, this is a longer daggone meeting. I mean, what the heck is going on here?
Well, I'll put it to you this way.
Uh-oh.
When some of the people came out of the meeting, they were looking the way people looked after they saw the 2001 Odyssey, Space Odyssey, back in the 60s. You know, like...
It was a 2001 Space Odyssey? Holy
yes.
Cow.
Yes, and people were wondering why were they there, because Ed McGuire, who had officially resigned, rescinded his resignation.
Yeah.
And
wait, listen. You know what? When you stick your name on a piece of paper or you hold your head up and says, I'm finished, your butt is finished. You don't get a second act here.
Yep.
Anybody that resigns needs to go, just like the chair of the Democratic Party. He's going to resign. I'm not going to resign. I'm playing tiddlywinks. I don't know what I'm doing. But he can't. Oh, you know what? I think I'll come back. No.
Yeah.
Fool,
well,
you resign.
The thing with the difference between David and Ed was that Ed put his in writing.
Yeah, well, you know what? That means your word's no good.
Yes.
If you say you're going to resign and you don't resign and you renege on that, who the hell can listen to you and trust you? As a lawyer, I would never trust you.
But one of the things that he said in the meeting when he was defending his case, because why he was allowed to call this meeting, I don't know.
Well, he shouldn't have been allowed. He resigned. And it's in writing.
Yes.
And nowhere in the plan of organization does it say anything about anything, you coming back once you resign. Doesn't say that. It doesn't say it in Robert's Rules of Order.
Now, Ed said that.
And Harry can say, oh, yeah, well, since it doesn't say it explicitly, maybe it does mean it. Well, yeah, you go back and forth. And that's the same way we got the chair back in North Carolina. But that's nonsense. That's because people let that happen.
Well, the one thing he stood up and said was that, oh, yeah, I signed the letter, but I really didn't know what I was signing. I didn't read it.
I didn't know what I was signing. Oh, man, that sounds like the Al Capone defense.
And he said, well, I didn't say that I was resigning. I said I was thinking about resigning.
Okay, so he signed a letter stating that he was thinking about resigning?
Yes. For health reasons.
Ain't that always the excuse? I'm resigning to be home with my children. I'm resigning to be because I have health reasons. That excuse has been used by every, what's the correct term? Every scoundrel that has ever lived.
Yes. And, Ed told his side of the story, and people were looking at him like...
Yeah, two heads.
Yeah, yeah. And
like,
then...
what the heck is he talking about, right?
Yeah, and Diane Little, our interim chair, came... I was glad that Diane came second, and she put down the facts.
Was that...
Yeah, as to exactly what happened. Huh?
What do you mean,
came
second?
No, I'm saying Ed spoke first. And told his side of the story. Then Diane Little told her side of the story. And...
Well, wait a minute. How could it be a side of the story when he signed a piece of paper? How could they be a side?
Because
of
he stood up there and told several untruths.
Well, yeah, but it doesn't matter. How can it be a second side of the story if he signed a piece of paper? If he signed
because
a piece of paper
he did not read it.
Okay, so this is the person you want in charge of your party because he ain't reading nothing he signed. Well, you know,
right.
Diane
right.
is stupid. She should have had him in that piece of paper, I want $500,000. That's what she should have. You owe me $500,000. And I guess, you know what? That would have held up in court if you took him to court because he signed
right.
it.
But she had a witness.
Yeah, but wait a minute. The witness, don't you have the piece of paper?
Huh?
Don't you have
yeah,
the piece of
I
paper?
Know. No,
so what do you
I
need
mean,
a witness
that,
for?
No, I'm saying when he signed it, there was another person with her.
There was
that heard
person.
Everything he said and witnessed the signing of the paper.
Uh-huh. And the witness says what?
The witness was not there.
The witness
but,
was,
yeah,
the witness but,
if,
now?
But if she was called, she could tell the story.
Well, you know what? Hey, why do you need a witness?
Because the man does not tell the truth.
Yeah, but if he's got a piece of paper...
Michael,
how does that can't stand up in court? How does that stand up in court?
No, Michael.
I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, Michael, the man stood in an executive committee meeting and said,
right.
"When you resign, you resign. There's no going back."
Yeah, well,
of which
that's what
I reminded
about.
Him of last night.
Yeah, well, right. And what did he say to that? Did you bring up? Matter of fact, did you find the piece of paper? The missing memo that told the minutes that told the woman once you resigned?
Yeah, the secretary has all of the minutes.
Okay. And in
yeah,
the
because
minutes,
they're not getting minutes
told,
anymore.
You're not getting minutes anymore?
No, because, you know, they have to mail them to those who do not have email, and it would cost the party too much money.
Yeah,
and
wait
we
minute,
don't
wait,
have
wait.
Any money.
Wait a minute, Paul.
Yeah,
how
but
can
see,
you
I
have
didn't
an
know
altercation?
The meeting.
Mm-hmm. That's illegal. It's illegal.
What?
It's illegal not to give minutes. That's part of the. You look at the plan of organization. They have to give minutes.
They have minutes, but you would have to, you know, request them. I
okay.
guess.
Now. Why can't they still send the minutes to those by email that have email?
Because the people who don't have email, they would have to mail them.
Okay, but then they can request them if they want it. Those people
yeah.
should
mm-hmm.
okay, but that does not stop them from sending out minutes to the people that have emails.
True.
So nobody said anything about that?
No, because people were busy. They were. You know, people.
What are they eating? Yeah, I mean, were the people listening, or were they just what are they watching the last
no,
over the
I mean,
the series? What are they doing?
It was
it's disgraceful, as far as I see.
First, the chair of the Democratic Women got up.
Yeah.
The president of the Democratic Women got
right.
up and told Lee Little to set the F down.
Ooh.
Yes. And she told how this meeting should be run. That Diane should have been running the meeting.
Is she a member?
Huh?
Yeah, but is she a member of the executive board?
She is the Democratic women who have basically pulled away from the Democratic Party and union.
Well, I don't understand. Don't you have a chair? Well, you don't have a chair. You have a first vice chair, second vice chair, third vice chair, treasurer, and a secretary. Is that correct?
Right, and parliamentarian. The parliamentarian. The parliamentarian was running the meeting.
Okay. Now you also have auxiliary people that are on the board, correct?
Right.
How many of those were there?
Well, I saw.
The Democratic
two.
Woman was there.
Yeah, the Democratic
woman.
Women. Well, they pulled out of the auxiliary. And the Hispanic president and the African-American president was there.
So you're saying that the Democratic women are no longer part?
Right.
Okay, then why was she even up there?
Because I think originally everybody came to vote for a new chair or unaccept Ed's resignation.
She got up and spoke.
Uh-huh.
Okay, but what I'm trying to say, if she is not part of the Union County apparatus,
mm-hmm.
she has no business speaking anyway.
Well, you know, she told how that meeting should
I understand,
run,
but the question that I have is that, you know, if
the protocol talking about, yeah.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
A meeting and Joe Blow from, next door comes up and says, look, I'm running this meeting now. I want you to have it give you a run. Are you insane? Now, that's not.
Yes.
What?
And then.
Admiral scored it out.
Yeah. The parliamentarian was trying to explain the plan of organization did not address the issue of a chair resigning and rescinding his resignation. And Dr. Baker got up and confused the people even more. Harry Crow interjected with a few things that and people were totally confused.
Well, so it looks like nobody was actually running the meeting. What you're saying?
Well, Althea, the parliamentarian, she was conducting the meeting, but.
Well, how is she conducting a meeting if all these people are talking?
But the whole thing about it is they raise their hands to say something.
Yeah, but that doesn't matter. The parliamentarian
yes.
does not have to recognize somebody because
yes.
they raised their hand.
Well, they were being recognized.
Okay, so after the first one confused everybody, the parliamentarian didn't get the idea that that's not the way to go?
Well, I mean, it was just... when
I just asked the question. Because
I was outside because somebody wanted to really snatch Dr. Baker. I was talking to them, and by this time the meeting had adjourned and people were coming out, and I was listening to some of the comments that they were making. This was a waste of time. What actually happened? Nothing. I don't understand. You know, we had a quorum, and there was no vote. There was no this. There was no that. And it was funny. It was really funny. And the way I feel about this whole thing, Michael, I'm going to tell you my personal beliefs.
Personal belief. Uh-oh.
Yes. When President Obama was elected in 2008, all of your blue, yellow, green, red dogs got together and decided to destroy the party so that he would not be elected again.
Again. Oh, well,
yes.
that's obvious. That's obvious. That's completely
yes.
obvious. So,
mm-hmm.
This has been such a, you know, and I just had Brother Reese on, who's a African-American young man who has
yes.
lost his way. And, you know,
yeah, too much sugar.
Maybe he will find his way someday.
Yeah,
but,
he's got to leave the sugar alone. He's too hyper.
Until Rush Limbaugh gets convicted of his aggressions with OxyContin, he will still be leading down the course of events that he's on.
Yeah.
So, you know, what there's nothing you can do about that. Some people will never be found. Some people will always be lost.
Mm-hmm.
But what can you say about that? There's
yeah.
nothing that can be said about that.
Mm-hmm.
So you just have to say, well, they're there, and God bless them.
Yes.
But from the moment this African-American president, from the very moment,
mm-hmm.
Senator McConnell said, this man will never serve a second term.
That's right.
Now, so it doesn't matter what he did during the entire first term.
He could have put a chicken in every pot.
Mm-hmm.
It did not matter. And
yeah.
anybody who can't see that is a complete fool.
Yeah. And
this is how it went down. It did not matter. And I was trying to convey to the gentleman just on the line now, this is all gobbledygook with this
mm-hmm.
whole deal.
Yes.
This don't matter. All mm-hmm. they're trying to do is, just like happened at Union County, confuse the people enough that they just don't go out to vote. Because
right.
they, when you talk about numbers, they cannot match the numbers of Democrats and independents that will vote against them.
Mm-hmm.
The only way is to confuse, to purge, to elicit. And when you're talking about 0.00005% allegedly registered illegally, you're not talking about anything.
No. No. No.
So these people down there in Union County who never voted for the president, who is as red can be,
mm-hmm.
who had would never vote for any president. Have they ever been blue?
No.
No. So what are we talking about here?
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about things and events that aren't going to change.
Yes. And the one thing that's happening here in Union County, and because of the convention, people have come out of the woodwork. Some people that you haven't seen since the 2008 election are now delegates. You didn't see them during the congressional and senatorial races. You know, and now all of a sudden they're delegates. And that is disheartening. It's disheartening.
Well, the problem is, you see, money talks and bullshit walks. What can I say?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And
if you give, I don't care who the candidate is, if you give $250,000, $5,000, $10,000, hey, you're going to be in there. You're
mm-hmm.
going to be one of the players.
Mm-hmm.
I have a major problem with this, and that's why this needs to be a federally funded and run campaign
mm-hmm.
where X amount of money is given by the federal funding system. I don't care. If you're a billionaire, keep your daggone billion, because all you do is influence people who are so influenceable, is that a word? Who are so able to be influenced, you can hold a lollipop in front of them and you can buy their vote.
That's right. And
until we change that, until we change the format of how people, just like John Edwards, I never, ever, ever, ever trusted John Edwards. Yeah, he's good looking. I tell you, hey, that. I tell him, joke, smile. Bull. What did the man ever do? Nothing. He was an ambulance chaser.
Mm-hmm.
But people, in North Carolina, he's our guy. Yeah, good. Keep your guy. The problem is, he was able to buy his way in there.
Mm-hmm. With his wife's money.
Well, I don't know if it's his wife's money. He made a lot of money. He's supposedly a good lawyer. So I don't know if it was his wife's money, his money. But the thing is that we need to stop this. And this, when is the Supreme Court, when is that jerk who talked about Obama under his breath when the president was making his speech at Congress, the joint session of Congress, and the president mentioned about how bad the last judgment that they ruled on, Citizens United, and he said, "Oh no, that's not true, baloney." Is this, has this blown up in his face big time? Is this man ever going to come up and say, you know what? Hey, this is absolutely bogus. So it's, I think it's time for this to be brought back to the Supreme Court for a review. But you know what? It'll never happen as long as he's on that court.
Mm-mm.
So it has to be a constitutional amendment. Because,
yeah.
Well, when is the last time they've shown up a Supreme Court justice? Not in my lifetime. They probably have, but not in my lifetime. So it has to be a constitutional amendment against everybody, Tom, Dick, and Harry, opening up their piggy banks and giving. I mean, you got Karl Rove now up there in Utah with all these other people. Now, how that shouldn't even be legal. The man is running a major fund, and you're not supposed to mix the two. He shouldn't even be talking to Romney. But he's up there at that meeting they're having now.
Yep.
So
that's how they do things. But I guarantee you, if it was the president doing something, oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Oh,
can you
my
imagine?
God.
Can you imagine the president of the United States up in Martha's Vineyard with all the people that are contributing to his campaign, what would be saying right now?
Yes.
Rush Limbaugh would be out with a megaphone speaking, shouting and ranting and raving up at Martha's Vineyard.
Oh, it would be a hot mess. It really would, because you wouldn't be able to watch TV because it would be splattered all over the television.
Absolutely.
Because if the president wears a blue tie, people, oh, well, he should have worn a red tie. Oh, that's not the right color blue, you know.
Well,
if he sneezes, you know, anything.
Speaking about that, let me see if I can find this. This is so outrageous. They were talking about the president and the way his body language when he was sitting with
my God.
You know, the two were sitting so far away from one another. Really think it's very ass. Well, I'm looking at a daggone picture right now. Shows them laughing together. And he says that we've been working to get the Russians to come into line with, frankly, the broad international community. This is just not an issue between the United States and Russia. Surely Russia will not want to defy the broad international community on Syria. And it shows both of the president and Putin, close together. Then there's another one that shows Putin and Obama laughing. Sharing a laugh at the G20. So the one they showed us is the one where they're both sitting far apart. Well, hey, I sit sometimes far apart from my wife. What does that mean? I got cold shoulder? Well, yeah, 33 years now. I mean, come on. What are we talking about? These two ain't married. They're not loving
one
another. I know. What are they sitting there holding hands? What are we talking about? Give me a break.
That's what I'm saying, you know.
I mean, it's completely stupid. Mm. You know, so it doesn't matter. We have a black man sitting in the White House, and
that's
nobody's
right.
saying it. You know, the one who's come close to saying it is Chris Matthews. He said it quite a few times.
Mm-hmm.
But this is the fact. And we have a black man as Attorney General.
Mm-hmm.
Can you imagine if the Secretary of State was also black?
Oh,
These people would be committing suicide. They would be jumping off buildings.
Yeah, and I said after the president leaves the White House, they'll probably tear it down and build a new one because
they'd have to spray the whole place.
Yeah, because they said they're not supposed to be in there.
Heck no. Only in the back door.
Right, but
through the back door only.
Yeah, but they built the White House.
Well, it don't matter who did. Nobody's around this. So, you know,
the White House before anybody.
Yeah, well, that don't matter. Hey, well, what does that matter? What does that really matter? They were in the White House for anybody. Please, these people don't care. They don't care. They don't care.
And one of the things that if people, you know, we talk about voter registration. If people aren't looking at the news every night, that is voter registration. That you need to get up off your hind parts and get out there and vote if you want to maintain some sort of stability in your life.
But you see, we got people who are out here who told me they didn't even know there was a primary. Now, to me, these are federally operated, federally held, privately operated, but federally held license to broadcast on the radio and television. Every one of these stations, every hour, should automatically give a commercial for a someone who's running for office.
Yeah.
If we're doing it, we can take just the president, and if they want to do that, fine. They can figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Without these people paying for it.
Right.
Because they're not giving these licenses. They got to pay for them with our money. This is our money.
That's right.
And when we put people in charge here, and it, just like when they got rid of the law where you didn't have to give equal time. Well, that's what made Rush Limbaugh. That's what made him. He couldn't say things like, that's why he never has a Democratic guest on his show. That's why he hardly has any guests on his show. Why he does all the hogging of the radio station. And why I gave Mr. Reese the 7 minutes and 45 seconds to speak without interruption. But you notice he would not give me
that
the
same courtesy.
For
yeah.
7 on my own show. I could have muted him and talked over him, but I didn't do that. So the thing is that they don't want the other side to get their message out because they're already behind the eight ball because there's less of them. So they have to confuse and delete, confuse and take away. That's the only way their message will get out. The only way their message will ever get out is to confuse and delay. Go ahead.
No, I just hope that these people will come out and vote because, you know.
But you can't hope for that. You know, hope and change.
Yeah.
I mean, we know that was a part of the president's whole deal in running hope and change. The problem is, though, those people. It's just like the comparison of the old axiom that was said about the Holocaust in Germany when the person when they came for my next door neighbor, I did nothing. Then they came for my next door neighbor, the other side of me, I did nothing. Now they're coming for me, and there's nobody that can help me.
Right.
Well, that's what these people are here. They're waiting for somebody else to do it. You got to remember, 95% of the people in the world follows.
They are.
They will
they
not
are.
Go out, stick their necks out for anything. Even if it's going to help them. Even if it's going to help them. They have to wait till they're slapped down to the ground, beaten to a pulp, and even then, most of them will not help themselves.
Because a lot of people who are hoping that the president don't win because they feel you know, that they're one of them, they're going to find out that they're not one of them.
Well, of course they're not one of them.
Because those people only care about money. And if you don't have it, shame on you.
Yeah, right. And you know what? And it don't matter if you're black, white, purple, or green.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I should say green, right? Or pink.
Mm-hmm.
If the color is green.
That's right.
Because green
right.
buys influence.
And
green
yeah.
buys influence.
Mm-hmm.
We have this, and it shows you the contempt
mm-hmm.
that the Progressive Party had, and I blame the Republicans, the actual Republicans that are left in the Progressive Party, because there is no more Republican Party. It's
no.
now the Progressive Party.
Mm-hmm.
I blame them because they saw a ring that they were not able to attain.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, you know what? What do we have to do to attain this ring? Well, we got to give a look. You know, it's just like the old saying of, you ever see that commercial with the two people laying in bed and their eyes are staring wide open? And there's this big black panther sitting on the mat on their dresser, looking at him and licking his chops.
Mm-hmm.
You ever see that?
No. Mm-mm.
They said, "Oh no, we're not tired, but it's an advertisement for having your—I don't know if it's ADT or one of the other advertisers—for protection. Oh, we don't need protection. We just bought a shelter leopard."
Mm-hmm.
So. The leopard is waiting for them to close their eyes before he eats them.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know,
and that,
the old story
that's
about...
that's what's going to happen.
Well, that's right. And about the tiger in the bed with you. You know,
mm-hmm.
as long as you gave the tiger the lamb chops and the chops, you could curl up with the tiger. When
mm-hmm.
the lamb chops stop...
Look out.
Are you gonna, this is what's happened.
Yep.
Anybody who thought, who had the inkling that they could have Sarah Palin as the vice president, a heartbeat from a 100-year-old man, is a complete fool. We saw what happened when we had that Bush 41 vice president. Was he ready to lead the free world?
No.
You know, these people are just so pathetic.
Yeah, Michael.
They don't think.
I saw an article, and they were talking about the president. And they went as far as to say, if we are invaded by aliens, we do not have a president that will be able to communicate with them. I was
see, this problem. Well,
huh?
You know, the thing is, well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Yeah, that nobody else goes, he does it all by himself. Are you kidding me? That's not the way it works.
Yeah.
That's not the way it works.
Yeah. But, I mean, they went as far as talking about if we had an alien attack. This president
right,
is not.
So, right, not capable of helping the country.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, you know, he's. If we had an alien attack, he wouldn't go and start a fight with Somalia.
Mm-mm.
I know that.
No.
Would you? What we did in the Iraq War, we started fighting Iraq, instead of our main foe, which was in Afghanistan.
Mm-hmm.
This is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The aliens attacked us, knocked down the World Trade Center, and who do we fight? Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
So, what are we talking about here? But see, and I'm not talking about George W. Bush, because George W. Bush was not president. Dick Cheney was running the show, and everybody and their mother knows it.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But 43 did not know how to get him out.
No.
And that's going to be his legacy. His legacy is going to be hung around his neck like a millstone.
Mm-hmm.
Dick Cheney.
That's right.
Darth Vader.
Darth Vader.
But there's nothing else that can be done. Nothing else that can be said about it.
That's right.
We, you know, you said, well, Barack Obama didn't have any experience being president.
Neither did George
Nobody.
W. Bush.
No,
the little one.
Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, but
little
but,
Bush.
Oh, yeah, but he says he was in there for with his father for four
mm-hmm.
years. The problem is nobody has the ability to be president until you're president.
That's right, because you don't know what you're going to be faced with.
Hey, you know what? And as far as that's concerned, the only person in the last few years that had the ability to be president, and I'm going to say it was Dick Cheney. Dick Cheney was Secretary of Defense. He was a congressman. He was chief of staff. He knew how that place ran. That's why he was the president, actually, under George W. I ain't saying that Dick Cheney didn't have the ability to be president. Dick Cheney did have the ability to be president. What he did, I didn't like, but he was qualified to be president. George W. was not.
Oh.
And you could see why he vacated, he advocated the presidency to Dick Cheney. Now, we're talking about Barack Obama. Barack Obama is no dummy.
Mm-mm.
Barack Obama,
by no means,
no matter what these fools are saying, I don't care if he was born on Mars, is no dummy.
No.
He has international experience, and he knows how to negotiate. And that
right.
is the problem that these other people did not have.
And the man has class. He is...
Well, hey, you know what? Hey, class has nothing to do with being president.
No, but I'm saying yes.
I want a president. I don't care if he's with a woman upside down nude in Macy's window.
No, but
I
mean,
him.
He knows how to conduct himself.
To, do to keep me out of war, make sure I got money in my pocket, make sure my kids can go to school. These are the things that I want my president to do.
I know, but I'm saying...
Every other country in the world, that's what they want their president to do,
yeah,
or their prime minister.
But he has class. He knows how to talk to people.
Yeah,
he knows how
course.
To deal with people.
Right.
The first thing
you can have class. You can have class and not know how to talk to people.
Oh.
We got one right now on the Republican side named Romney. Romney's got class. Well,
he doesn't have class. He does.
Yeah,
he
does. Sure.
Class.
Yeah, Romney's
no,
got
he
class.
Doesn't.
I can't think. Yeah.
I
he's
don't
got
think
class,
so.
But he does know not know how to talk to people, the regular people. He does not have talked to business because he's never had to deal with business. Romney has only dealt with people with money. That's all he's dealt with, people with money. He hasn't dealt with the cleaners down the block or the person that owns the liquor store or the person that owns the sporting goods store. He's only dealt with people who have money. That's why he's a vulture capitalist. I mean, you could just, everybody needs to see the movie Wall Street. Again, original one.
Yeah.
The original Wall Street with Michael Douglas, Gordon Gekko. His job was to make money, not to make other people happy. His job was to make money for himself. And,
he did.
And if it means cutting your throat, cutting your business, cutting your retirement fund so they can make money, he would do that. And that's
and,
the only reason why Bain Capital existed.
And the and what
to make money.
You
for
know,
those
it's a shame that in the South and in the Western states, you know, we've had the privilege of living and working in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And where you can see what these guys are like.
Oh, please, I worked at Wall Street. I worked
yeah,
at
that's what I'm saying.
Paper,
yeah, but these people don't, you know, they haven't had that experience. They look at these guys and they got on nice suits, et cetera, and they say, oh, they're nice because of the fact that they're wearing a suit and a tie. Oh, they're nice. No, they are not nice. These guys are money men.
Listen, you know, just because you're a money man and just because you work in Wall Street, that doesn't make you not nice.
I know.
Yeah. And you know what? And I don't want to knock Romney completely.
I'm not
because,
saying
hey,
that.
Romney does his job very well. But his job is not meant to help the American citizens. It's only meant to help him and his conspirators and his cabal. That's all.
Yeah. And that's why he can afford to spend $20 million to remodel his house in La Jolla.
Of course. But, you know, but you see, what I'd like to see is that he is, and we need to wrap this up because it's almost time, but he is a nice guy. But he ain't presidential.
No.
He's not presidential. And
no.
He will be controlled by the same people that controlled W.
That's right.
Okay, we got to go.
All righty.
Thank you, my dear. And you know what? You need to come on here next week because I'm going to call you later and tell you why.
Okay. Have a
good
one. You too.
And this is the last word. And we are out of here. It's my wife is coming in the door and it's raining outside. So I'm going to say goodbye. Till next week. This has been the last word. Reese, I'm still waiting for that email. Those emails.